Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sales Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Lemon. And today I want to dive into some topics that I know a lot of us are struggling with. Because for one, email open rates are going down. There's a lot of tactics that things I've done that have been tried and true that aren't that true anymore. And honestly, this whole social selling thing has evolved. And so I'm bringing on guest Paul Lucas so we can dive into these topics, talk about these actual strategies and tactics that are working for startups, especially in the med tech space. And if you're an SMB like myself in this med tech world, you already know that, man, the budgets are tight. It's hard to really figure out what's going to cook, and you don't have a lot of resources. Money could be time, people. You don't have the talent on hand to make it happen. How do you get the most out of what you got? And how do you leverage your actual data in a way that's going to be meaningful to driving real business results? So we're going to talk about that and more on today's episode with Paul Lucas, the founder of Alpha Sophia. Let's get into it. I'm excited to have a really interesting guest on the podcast today. Paul Lucas is the founder of Alpha Sophia. And this is a tool that I think that more companies are going to be using to really target the right people and have the right messaging, which I think is one of the biggest struggles. So with that being said, man, I'm really excited to have Paul Lucas onto the podcast today.
Hi, Joe. Nice. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on the pod.
Man, Paul, on this show, I think that people are really looking for, like, how do they level up their actual sales game? How do they level up their actual marketing activities? Because there's so many things that we could be doing, right? There's so many tools out there. We got a ton of data. Let's just start with, what are you seeing out there as far as SMBs, small companies, in the med tech realm, even startups, like figuring out how to break in? How are they leveraging some of this data and some of this technology that we have our hands on?
Yeah. So first of all, I think in general, data is getting more and more key in all sorts of sales and marketing domains. We've seen that already in consumer industries and retail previously. Now in med tech and pharma, the technologies are really trickling down. So especially big med tech and big pharma are already quite advanced when it comes to leveraging data for sales and marketing. Now, even smaller companies, SMBs, startups, and so on are now trying to also leverage that as well. And in particular, this comes into effect when it comes to bringing out those products to market, finding the right people to talk to, leveraging data sources to find innovators, to find early adapters, and so on, to have a really sharp adoption curve in the beginning, which especially for startups is quite important to then get further funding and so on.
Yeah, I think that the big companies have always had access to this data. They've been leveraging it, and they have a big head start on a lot of guys like myself, right? I'm at a company where in the US, there's only about 15 of us, and we're actually based out of Germany. I think I was telling you that last time we spoke. And over there is about 50, right? It's a small company. It's not the Pfizers. It's not the guys that have tons of money to get really throw at getting that insight. But now I feel like this levels the whole playing field, man. When we think about companies that are my size and we're going out into the market, have you seen good use cases where, like, man, they're doing something totally different than what I'm seeing anybody else leverage a tool with? Because I'm going to talk about your actual tool for a little bit too. But yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. What I'm seeing more and more is that different sales channels just become more important. Yeah, so that traditional driving to a hospital, trying to get 2 minutes with a doctor, that's still being done. And that's super important to have a physical FaceTime with people. But using other channels like LinkedIn, for example, engaging with potential customers on Twitter and so on, is getting more and more important in creating an omni-channel touchpoint experience with your customers and then bringing your product out further. I think when I think especially about those startups in particular in the medtech space, one difficult point in their journey is always the one where they come out of those years where they're mainly focused on R&D, on conducting clinical trials, developing the product and bringing it out there, getting it approved. And then at some point, there's this inflection point where those companies need to become a sales and marketing driven organization. Mm-hmm. And from a cultural perspective, you often have a team which is highly focused on the product development, on the R&D part, on the medical components of building that company. And that organization at some point has to shift to a sales and marketing mindset. And what I'm seeing is that especially data-driven approaches to sales and marketing often resonate with those organizations quite well because they are data-driven anyway. And that's quite a comforting way to make that switch and then also be quite professional in their marketing and sales endeavors. For example, what you can do with our tool when you use the Alpha Sophia platform, you can do a lot of stuff. We basically have data on all the healthcare providers on the US, and then you can really slice and dice the market to find those ideal customer profiles who are good fit for you, depending on the types of procedures your product is for, depending on the state where you want to roll out first, the location. You can search by social media presence, whether they publish or not, whether they participate in clinical trials, whether they are more innovative by proxies. Or for example, do they do telehealth or something like that? And then you can really narrow down that list of multi-million healthcare providers in the US to those small target cohorts, which you might want to, then to engage with. What we often see is that customers then build different cohorts for different types of marketing and sales approaches. As you might already have one key opinion leader who is signed up to work with your product and who's endorsing it, and then you might want to go out and look for other alumni of that product, that institution, and reference to that key opinion leader to have a higher likelihood of them engaging as well.
I like both of those actual use cases, but the one I'm really excited to really dive into too is talking about these KOLs, because I think that more and more we're going to need to have these leaders online too, like the actual digital influencers, people that are just able to have that deep conversation and then be able to connect whatever the product is to a more holistic view of it. Because for instance, so most salespeople, they're stuck in their lane, and it's not bad. Like, you're supposed to be experts at your product or your device, but to really make the content interesting, you can't just go talk about your product all day. And that I haven't fully used it deeply, but just the actual brief amount that I had this quick demo with you on, I was like, oh, this is a great way to find people that will be open to being KOLs. Have you seen companies using it for those influencer moves as well?
Yeah, definitely. And also what I was trying to stress is that KOL, we always use that word as more as a zero or one kind of differentiation, but it's more like a grayscale, where you have people who are emerging and really the sweet spot, especially for younger companies who don't have million-dollar budgets of engaging those top KOLs, which are renowned in the industry. The hidden secret is often to find those up and rising stars, who are the KOLs of tomorrow in a particular domain, and try to get in touch with them early on in their journey, find incentivization models of them working with you as a company and then growing with you as a company. Especially finding people who have momentum in their career in a particular therapeutic field is really important, especially if your budgets are constrained in the early phase.
No, and almost every startup and everybody in our space is going to have a limit there. We're going to have a cap.
And then the types of, or the criteria also expanding, from purely what types of publications are healthcare professionals engaging in, which are resonate or which are in the same field as the product you're developing, but then also now, how present are they on social media? Do they visit the key conferences on the subject matter and so on? So there are more and more different components of that KOL experience mix.
Man, let's talk about social media, because I think this is a place where a lot of sales and marketing people in this space over the years has been frowned upon, right? People that were online, it was like, what are you doing on there? And you're about to get fired because whoever your higher ups are, they don't want to see you promoting yourself. That's a very common thing. So what type of things have you seen out there from like the online presence and really just being able to drive awareness from the actual medtech side of the table?
Yeah. I think what's important about social media, it's not a silver bullet. It's not you get a list or you find physicians on LinkedIn or on Twitter, then you write them cold message and it directly converts into sales. It's more like it's a long game. And it's about, most importantly, putting content out there, which is valuable, where your target audience resonates with, and creating multiple touch points over a period of time, your potential partners, your potential customers to recognize your name, understand what you stand for, for which type of quality level, for which type of therapeutic field, for which type of customer service experience and general value proposition. And then building that over time, that can build a platform for future partnerships. But it's never an isolated silver bullet which you just put out there and then magically your sales go up, but it's rather a long game where you invest in building a brand through content and engagement.
And I'm even thinking about how we got linked up a couple weeks ago now. I was looking at some of your content, curious about the actual platform, and I was like, all right, this guy's he's doing something. I heard him on a couple different podcasts. I was already aware. I was already curious about the platform. And by the way, how did you come up with the actual name too, Alpha Sophia.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I always get that asked. It's a little bit, when we were building that product in the initial phase, we needed a name just to start incorporation. And we had that idea that Alpha Sophia is ancient Greek for first wisdom, so first insight. And as we were building an insight platform to get those first snippets of knowledge on a thing that are emerging, on things which are not directly apparent, we thought that would be a fun name. And now it seems it's quite sticky because it's peculiar for most people.
100%. I was thinking like, all right, Alpha Sophia, maybe you went extreme masculine and then you went a little more feminine. So I thought you tried to at least cover both spectrums. But when I think about how we got connected, it was like, I was already aware because you were posting about things that were relevant in my space. And so whenever you said, hey, I saw one of your posts, I was like, oh yeah, we should talk. It was a natural thing. It wasn't it wasn't anything that was like, hey, let me start from ground zero because I had no clue what you were up to.
Yeah. And I find it always really interesting when I have a first conversation with someone like you, where I've been following their content for quite some time. And then you end up in a Zoom call and you're like, okay, it's weird. We meet for the first time, but it actually feels like we do have some history and we've seen each other evolve and the different types of contents and so on. And that gives a really strong basis for them, further discussions and so on.
1,000. Yeah. And as we're talking about ways to leverage it, and these are tried and true methods now. I think there's a lot of playbooks out there and a lot of scripts and things people are doing. But sometimes we overcomplicate it, right? You're like talking to like another human being. You're not.
So it's also trial and error, trying out stuff. And then you feel, okay, that was maybe, I don't know, too simplistic. That was maybe too elaborate and that didn't work. And then it also over time, things change. Not only the algorithms of social media platforms do change, different types of content which are out there. Basically that the audience gets used to them and then they don't work at some point anymore. So you constantly have to evolve and further develop yourself when you're making content in any domain. And that, I think that's not only limited to MedTech, that's just a general statement about working on social media on a business purpose.
Yeah, and this idea of testing out different messaging and testing out ways to connect with people, it's a beautiful thing that we have this type of tools that are accessed now. And you start mixing AI and ways to come up with different hooks and prompts and all these things to come up with different outreach strategies. But one thing I've noticed, I'll be honest with you, like my email open rates have dropped ever since. But like they were dropping before. So it wasn't like it was like, but last year was a strong drop.
Yeah.
Have you seen this as well from like people like?
Yeah. Just also for us, it's going down and it's getting more difficult to reach people just purely via email and you need to find different channels. Maybe one last sentence before we elaborate on that, on the social media topic. I think if there's one single recommendation I would make to anyone looking to get into that domain and using content on social media as a lever for growth, I think the biggest single determinant or parameter is time. So starting earlier helps you so much. Even if you're, for example, a startup, a medtech startup, which is still in an early phase of clinical research and getting approval at some point, just start engaging with your potential customers already. And you might be able to use those 1 to 3 years already to build an audience. And then when you hit market at some point, you can already build on something really solid. And you don't then just have to start and you can really hit the ground running on that channel. So time is so important. So just start early and get out there.
1,000%. Man, I think a lot of times we're way too critical of ourselves about how things need to look and the feel that things got to be, everything needs to be buttoned up before we press record or we just reach out to someone. Yeah. I was listening to a recent podcast that you were on, Omar's podcast, Omar Khatib. Love his stuff, man. He has like great, awesome. Tons of great content, but he was interviewing a former executive and he does a ton of influencer marketing. One of the only guys I think that is doing really quality med tech marketing out there. It's a very short list, unfortunately. But one of the guys he had on the show was talking about using influencers. And really, he started before they were even like, where they were still getting approval, right? They were still in the 510K approval process before they went to market, before they're selling anything. And he's already starting to build that content library of just having those KOLs ready to at least be engaged. So just kind of doubling down on that point. Man, I want to talk about the platform now because you have a lot of deep insight on there. Just from the little bit of time I saw it, a lot of rich content that I think that is different than what you'll find on any other. If you have Zoom Info, I use, Apollo. Yeah, I mean, like you can find names, numbers, emails. That's cool. Talk about some of the data that you have on your platform that's different.
Yeah. We are completely focused on the healthcare market. So all our whole platform is only geared about towards healthcare providers, the healthcare system, and gathering as much data as possible about that market, while at the same time being really easy to use, intuitively to navigate through, so that you don't need to, I don't know, study data science to get insights out, which give you some advantage on the track. And it's basically, it really feels like using, I don't know, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, for example, where you have a multitude of different filtering dimensions, which you can use to narrow down the whole market of the whole healthcare market to a subset of potential providers, which fit towards a certain product and sales and marketing campaign you are aiming to run. And then you can do stuff like show me all the orthopedic surgeons in Texas who are doing total knee procedures a certain amount of times per year. And then you might want to filter out anyone who's currently getting funding already from your competitors, and this might be blocked from your competitors already above a certain threshold. And then you might want to engage, as we discussed earlier, with them on LinkedIn, Twitter, and so on, so you could see who has LinkedIn profiles of them. And then you get down to a really narrow target list of those providers. And on all the currently 3 million plus providers we have in the tool, you have dedicated profile pages where we basically accumulate all the information we have on them. So when the sales and marketing teams go out there and start engaging with those people, they can actually brief themselves and see what's their therapeutic profile, with which companies are they working with, what are the products they've talked to other manufacturers about in the past, what are they publishing on, have they participated in clinical trials, where are they located, what are their different affiliations. They might not only be in one hospital, but in multiple ones. Are they offering telehealth, and so on, and much more, and really get a well-rounded picture about those people to utilize the few minutes sales and marketing people usually only get with busy doctors to the fullest, and get the highest likelihood of those providers being interested in your product out of that.
The part that's interesting too is that, man, like, it's really granular. Like, knowing how many total knees that they've done, if you're selling any type of tools around that, our tech around that, that's, you can get that data, but you have to pay a lot to normally get it, right?
Exactly. And that's our second focus. I helped build a medical device company here in Germany at some point, and we tried to get data on potential customers, and we talked to some of the larger incumbents in the industry and got a quote for an Excel sheet, basically, which was like, I could have bought a brand new car for that. Yeah. And we thought that is really valuable, but that should not be limited to only big medtech and big pharma who can spend those big dollars on that, but especially should also be available for those younger innovators who actually develop completely new solutions while at the same time being cash sensitive. So we try to build a solution which is really powerful, state of the art, can compete with everything out there, is more powerful in many ways than the existing solutions, but at the same time offer that at a price point which is also accessible to smaller companies.
Extremely affordable, honestly, compared to some other prices that I've seen over the years and people that have at least quoted out. And when we think about the process of getting to this place, because it looks really buttoned up on the inside. It looks like it's just like you said, it's like Sales Navigator for LinkedIn. It's easy to navigate. It's easy to move around. How many iterations did you have to go through to get to this place? I'd imagine you had to go through some different takes to, and, you know, land where you are today.
Yeah, iterations was one thing, but it actually started earlier. So when we started building that product, the first thing I did, I got on LinkedIn actually and reached out just to, I think, was definitely more than 100, maybe 200, I don't know. Different, I reached out to much more, but the people I actually talked to, pharma sales rep, medtech sales reps, anyone in that industry who's currently engaging in sales and marketing in activity. And we just talked to them and tried to understand their problems, their use cases, what's already existing, what's working well, what's not working well, and basically collected all this feedback. And to date, all our development goals are always customer oriented. Yeah. So we always start with the customer, hear what their needs are, and then try to put that in our development roadmap. And of course, sometimes we have our own ideas, but we always try to validate that with customers first and just don't just buy something because we personally find it super beautiful, but it always needs to fulfill a use case coming from the customer. And all those different discussions, yeah, they've really fed into our development process and have helped us to build a product which is being used by medical device companies every day and helps them to bring their own innovations out to patients faster.
Paul, man, I think that's a really good strategy for anybody that's like new in the space too. Just to double down on that, is that anytime you have a newer product, even if you're a new employee and the product's been around, going around and just asking people's feedback on it, because then it's like the least salesy way to go about starting an actual conversation, opposed to saying, hey, you know what, I got this great thing that you don't really know nothing about yet because you probably just got started, or you just finished some training course, you're just getting into it. But coming into the actual brand new career, or if it is a brand new launch, literally saying, hey, we have this brand new product, you're the expert, I want to hear from you about maybe how you would use this. Does it make sense? Does it fit into current flows that you're currently doing? And then it's a much more human way to have that dialogue.
Definitely. And also, it was actually also fun, yeah, when we had those conversations in 2022, second half of 2022, and at the same time we're building the product. And then at some point we reached back out to those people who helped us, who we talked to, and showed them a first version of the product. And having seen that epiphany moment when the last touch point they had was talking to me or Robin on the phone and discussing and brainstorming ideas, and then suddenly something has materialized where I could pinpoint to them that type of feature that directly developed out of our conversation. That's just really fun to see as well. And I'm really happy and thankful for everyone who helped us on this journey, sharpen that product.
Look, I got to tell you, from one salesperson to another, because you are obviously a killer, that's a killer way to go about building a relationship, especially if you take their insight and you bake it into the product. Now, they already bought in. They helped you build this together, right? How could you not want to be a customer? I mean, I think it's great. But man, as we get ready just to really wrap up, talk about what's next for Alpha Sophia.
Yeah, what's up next? Our big vision is to serve as many startups and medical device companies as possible and help them as a catalyst to bring out their innovations. We are not the real innovator. Those medical device startups and are those who bring out those life-saving innovations. And we just want to be a little gear in their wheel to help them be more efficient in their path. And then secondly, on a product roadmap, our personal aim is just to build shit product every day, make the platform more comprehensive, collect more data, make it more intuitive, and then bundle that into our platform to make the whole user experience more delightful and more powerful for our customers. We're definitely going to work on more data sources where we draw data out of all sorts of unstructured domains and use AI to make that accessible in our platform and understandable for our customers. So there's going to be quite some cool stuff in our pipeline, which is going to hit market at some point this year.
I was getting ready just to wrap up, man, but you already mentioned the actual word AI, so we got to talk about it for 2 seconds. How are you leveraging it into the actual platform? The tools that the users will actually have access to through AI, or that's just more back?
We always use it when it comes to our own data back-end infrastructure, when it comes to assessing which types of data attributes belong to each other. You can imagine, for example, you find a social media profile of a person, and then you need to find out that doctor who in our database is actually the corresponding person. And for those kinds of activities of attribute matching and so on, we leverage AI quite heavily already. And we are going to build on that as well, also when it comes to just data collection at large scale. And then secondly, that's probably a bit further out, we're also working on stuff which more goes into an interface for users where they can use AI to engage with our data. But that's probably a bit more further out, a bit more down the road.
I like it, man. I like it. Paul, man, I'm excited to really see how you guys are going to be packaging up all this data and really making it actionable. I think just having access to data doesn't really, I mean, that's cool, but it's everywhere, but putting it to play is where it's at.
Exactly.
Days, right? Man, exactly. Please tell everybody like how to find you if you have any. Yeah, tell everybody at least how to try out the actual platform, at least see it themselves.
Yeah. So if you want to have a demo, have a look, just go to Alpha. and book a demo with myself or my colleagues, or yeah, fill out the contact form and we will be in touch with you. But you can also visit my LinkedIn page, engage with me there, and yeah, happy to jump on a call with anyone who's interested in what we've built and show them what we've built and hopefully help them on their journey.
Paul, man, this was great having you on the show, man. I look forward for us to have this conversation more and more in the future. I think data is going to keep evolving, and I'm going to be leaning on you as our actual podcast expert when it comes to this medtech world, man. So hopefully we can have you back. And please, if you haven't already linked up with him on LinkedIn, make sure you make that happen. And Alpha Sophia seems like it's going to be making some big waves in this space. Keep on moving that product daily, bro.
Yeah, thank you.